Thank you, music team. I don't know how you put it all together in the summertime with so many vacations, but you always pull it off, and we appreciate you. Somebody told me recently you ought to take a minute and talk about why we do these registration books. So let me do that. We've tried a number of things through the years, a little card, a variety of things. And the reason we went to the books a bunch of years ago is that we felt like this was something that would work for both services. And this would be a place where you can write some prayer requests. This is where visitors could give us information. And usually on Sunday afternoon, I go through every one of those pages. If I don't make it on Sunday, I do it Monday, but usually Sunday. Sometimes there's a prayer request that needs an immediate response. And then the prayer requests, we hand them out to the appropriate people. We try to follow up as best we can. There's always a folder in there, information about the church. There's those little booklets, Steps to Peace with God, that you can take with you to use in your sharing of the gospel. The little booklet, My Heart, Christ Home, is an excellent tool for helping people really understand what it means to have the indwelling presence of Jesus in our life. And the pen, if you need it, you can take it with you, but you need to tell an usher so they can put another one in next hour. And so that's what we do. And then the idea was that it would go down the aisle or down the bench, and you'd all sign. And then as you pass it back, if there's somebody you don't know, now you would know what their name is. So you could talk to them afterwards. That's the theory behind it. Maybe you want to pass them down and back again now, okay? It's up to you. Thank you for working with us as we try to keep in contact as much as we can. So this is a long time ago. The year was May, month of May, 1960. I graduated from high school. I actually graduated. Not only that, but you might be impressed, but don't be too impressed. I was the second highest academically in my class. That's kind of impressive until you realize that there were only eight of us. So that means I was in the upper 25%. That doesn't sound nearly as good, but that's what it was. And as the salutatorian, I had the opportunity to make a speech, and the valedictorian did as well. I have no idea what I said in that speech. I'm sure my knees were knocking, my mouth was dry, my heart was racing to stand in front of the fellow graduates and parents and friends was completely out of character for me. I struggled with that for years, and there I was. And I don't know what I said, except as I wrote that speech and I got it approved, I concluded with these words. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I had no idea what those verses meant. I'm still struggling today with what those verses mean. So I'm going to wrestle with that for the next few minutes, and I know you'll be patient enough to hear me wrestle with it some more, okay? But it seemed at the time appropriate to say something to my fellow grads and to those listening that we needed to take an admonition from Scripture and let go of our wonderful time up to that point and anticipate all that you anticipate in the future. And it seemed like the right thing to do. And I've thought about it so many times through the years. And the more I study it and the longer I live, the more I realize how little I understood that night when I shared those words. And I really struggle with it. Because if you read the passage, Philippians 3 at verse 12, and you connect it with the context right ahead of it, Paul said that I may know him. Verse 9, may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I don't believe that had a lot to do in Paul's mind of his high school education, but somehow what it led into was relevant to me at the time, because it says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained to all this. I would guess, talking about what he just said, this desire to know Christ and make him known, or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And if anybody ever had an understanding of what it meant when Christ said, I'm getting a hold of you, and then Paul said, I want to relate to that and follow him, certainly he would have. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So he's growing, he's progressing. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So he's obviously thinking about the end of the race and being with Jesus. Verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And in that statement, I think Paul includes all of us, his immediate readers, and by application, all of us, in saying, I, Paul, along with all of you who are in the journey of following Christ, I know that I haven't arrived and I won't be perfect. I won't have it all together till I'm with Jesus, but let's run this journey and let's run the race and let's keep our eyes and our focus on Jesus. So the context, I think, is saying, let go of the past, not forget it, really literally, but let go of it. Where it says forgetting what lies behind, maybe the word literally includes neglecting. Don't let it hold you back. Let it go. And I think it's pressing to the future. Let God take care of the future. Leave it in his hands. And then obviously make the most of today. And I think our goal is to be useful. I put in your notes and the title, Making One Thing the Main Thing. And the more things, there are more things to involve our time than there are hours to do them. That's no great wisdom. We all know that. I don't think as followers of Jesus we should ever be struggling with making a choice between something that's good and something that's evil. I don't think that should ever be our life. There's too many good things for us to be a part of, to even consider messing around with things that are unholy. But I think the challenge to us is to realize that there's more good things that we can involve our life in, and so we need to find out what is excellent and pursue those things. And if we could help young people get that mindset, we would help them avoid a lot of heartache. Managing our time is a lifelong journey. When we think we have this under control, our circumstances change and we must adjust to the current challenges. And when I was younger, I thought at a certain point in life, I'll reach a point where everything will just fall into place. Well, what happened when I reached those points in life, my life had changed, our life had changed, circumstances had changed. There's a whole new set of challenges to face, and so the journey goes on. And I so appreciate Luke chapter 10 at verse 38, that little story there where Jesus had come to visit his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Martha was the doer. She was the one in the kitchen. She was fixing lunch. She was busy. She was the entertainer. She was Mrs. Hospitality all over the place. Wonderful, those kind of people in our life. And where's Mary? Well, Jesus is in the room there, and he's talking, and Mary is listening to him. Can't criticize her for that, can you? Martha did. And her focus was so on the things that she thought would facilitate a warm welcome for Jesus. And she was upset with Mary because all Mary seemed to be interested in was listening to Jesus. And so Martha complained, bless her heart. And I would never criticize her for that because I understand where she's coming from. I know what it's like to be distracted by busyness and miss the focus on what the priority of the moment really is. I'm sorry that I've done that, and I wrestle with that many times. And so she complained, Martha did, to Jesus, and said, you know, she needs to help me. I mean, this is my paraphrase of it. What's with Mary? You know, she's just in there listening to you. And she needs to help me fix lunch. And Jesus, I'm sure, in all the tenderness of his voice, said, Martha, Martha, you're busy, you're troubled, you're so active in so many things. And he didn't say that any of them were bad things. They were good things. It's good to be a good hostess. It's good to make lunch. It's good to care for your guests. But he said, Martha, Mary chose a higher priority. And I won't criticize her for that. There's a time when it's more important to just sit and listen to Jesus than to make lunch, to be busy about all the things. Mary made the main thing the main thing. If Jesus, after he had talked for a while, had said, well, I've got another appointment, I've got to go, I don't have time for lunch, but I'll be okay. We know that Jesus didn't need lunch. He was able to do life without worrying about food. He demonstrated that in John chapter 4. And if he had gotten up while Martha was hustling around and said, see you all, what a loss to Martha. Lunch would be great. No Jesus to enjoy it. So Mary made the main thing, and there's nothing against what Martha was doing. She just lost perspective of what was more priority. And I think Jesus makes a powerful statement when he reminds us of that. And so in verse chapter 12, it seems like Paul is simply saying, not that I've already attained. I don't know Jesus the way I want to know him and the way that I will know him, maybe even tomorrow, maybe even next week, and certainly when my life is over. So I'm not claiming to have arrived. I haven't become perfect. You know, we have at salvation, we have positional perfection in the family of God. And when we die and go to heaven, we will have permanent perfection in the family of God. But right now we're in this process where we're not always feeling and looking and acting that perfect, right? Because we're still in this imperfect environment. So he's saying, I haven't arrived. I'm not there yet. I'm in it with you guys. But I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And I don't know what all he had in mind there. But maybe, just maybe, he was saying, Jesus has a reason for me to still be here. And I want to latch onto that and be in tune with him so that whatever he has in mind for me today, it'll happen. Maybe. Maybe that's part of it. It's certainly a statement, the opposite of arrogance. He's not at all suggesting, I've arrived, I've got it together, I wish you guys would catch up, why don't you get your act together? It's just the opposite of that. If the Apostle Paul had that in his mind and heart, wow, I'm encouraged because I'm so far behind where I believe he was at the point that he wrote this. It's a statement of humility, but it's also determination where his focus was. And then in 13 to 14, this whole principle of leaving behind and pressing forward. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting. Letting go. In a few minutes, I want to give you a list of some things that you may find one of them in there that's relevant to you. Things that need to be let go. And then some things to look forward to. I think this is a continual battle for any of us that are honest. Things in our past can do two things to us, at least, that are damaging. One of them is we may look back at things that we're really proud of. You know, we really accomplished something. We walked with Jesus. We honored him. That was a good class that we taught. That was a good care that we showed to somebody. And we just kind of hang on to that. And we just kind of live off of the off of the memories. You know, we need those memories, and hopefully we have some, but you can't live off of them today. They're gone. They're over. They're done. The other one that's probably more common is that we look back at negatives. We look back at mistakes. We look back at hurts. And they damage us today because we've never really fully dealt with them and let them go. And both of those are dangerous. Paul isn't saying have a memory lapse. He's saying let them go. Put them in their context. And think of how relevant that was in his mind. Do you think it was a happy memory when Paul thought about those followers of Jesus that he tormented and had killed? Do you think it was a happy memory to him when he remembered that when Stephen was being stoned to death because he was a follower of Jesus, that Paul stood there guarding the people who were carrying out the murder, watching their clothes and approving of that? Do you think he felt good when he realized that he got letters and was on his way to Damascus to get people arrested and put in prison and maybe killed? The guy did some brutal things. And if he had let them continue on in his mind and not get over them and let them go and feel forgiven, it would have hindered his ministry. And also, some of the things I think he was forgetting, he talked about them. We read about them last week. That amazing Jewish history that he had. He was the ultimate Jewish kid with all the best education and knew the Old Testament forward and backward. And he could pat himself on the back for that. And he needed to let that go. He says that's just garbage compared to what I know about Jesus and my goal of following him. Leaving behind. And then he must have also wrestled with the aches and pains in his body and whatever other limitations he had. Those things that he talks about in 2 Corinthians 12 that he prayed 3 times that God would remove them. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove them. I'll just give you the grace to handle them. And he accepted that. Paul's life physically, don't you think it was kind of in torment? I think when he got up in the morning in his place where he was being held as a prisoner, I think he probably woke up and thought, I kind of wish I could have woke up in heaven today, but I'm still here. So we'll deal with it for another day. And he said, letting go and pressing forward. And even writes in this letter to these people, he says, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing you. I think I might get to come again. And I run that through my mind and I think, Paul, you're in no position to travel. You ought to be glad that you've got a halfway secure place to live. But not Paul. Because his heart is focused on Jesus, knowing him and making him known. So he says, I don't pretend that I've arrived, but I'm able to let go and press forward to the prize. Ultimately, what is the prize? Isn't it knowing Jesus and seeing Jesus? Isn't that the ultimate prize at the end? It isn't some trophy or some human accomplishment that people talk about. I think the prize is to hear Jesus say, welcome home. I don't know what else he had in mind in that prize. And I don't know what I had in mind when I was almost 18 years old and quoted these verses. I don't think I had a clue what the real prize is. I knew Jesus. I wanted to follow him and serve him. Paul says, I'm anxious to get the prize. And we know it wasn't something human. And he seemed to have a balance in that, that allowed him to make the most of where he was at that moment. And then he talks about the fact that we're in it together. As many of us as are perfect really means that we're maturing. We're in it together in the frame of mind that he was in. And You know, we're at different stages, but we can do life together and get along with each other and do this journey together. And we need to follow the standard that Jesus has set for us. I'm reading a fun book right now, and it's very affirming to me because a lot of it is the way I want to live and I work at, but some of it is kind of needling me a little bit and some changes that I need to make. But the focus of it, it's by a professor for many years at Moody, and the goal of it is to learn to live in the now, to make the most of the now. Not to devalue the past, not to anticipate the future, but to realize you can't change the past and you don't know the future, but you can get so caught up in those two that you miss the now. You miss the now. The day we have is the now. And so in light of this balance, I sat down at my workstation the other day, and I just started writing down a few things that I think might be helpful in letting go of things and looking forward to things, and then I'll just draw a couple of priorities and I'll be finished. Here's some things that I think we might need to let go of. It might be relevant to you, it's relevant to me. We need to let go of people who hurt us. If we've lived a while, and in some cases, little children deal with this, and certainly teenagers. And if we've lived an adult life for a while and been involved in life, we've had some people that hurt us. Maybe unintentionally, but maybe on purpose. We need to let those things go. Just let them go. If we're saying, because of, that makes a difference the way I am today and it's holding me back, it'll mess up today. We need to let go of people who hurt us. We need to let go of parents who were imperfect. And every parent is imperfect. We need to let it go. I feel so bad for people that say, you know, my dad was this and this and this, and that's why I'm the way I am. And I find myself trying gently but directly to say, well, can you change that? Can you make it different? Why don't you accept the fact that your choices today determine who you are? And that can be in good things. My mother did this and it was so perfect. Well, great. You benefit from that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be like mother. We need to take responsibility for ourselves. And until we do that, we haven't really let go of the past. We need to let go of relationships that went sour. There's a lot of people that have had a relationship in their younger years that hurt them so bad that they're afraid to develop another relationship, so they can never really learn to trust anybody, and they may never get married. And that's so unfortunate. Got to work through that stuff. Goals that were not realized. Oh, I just had this goal and I thought it was so amazing and I was sure it was God's plan for my life and I never reached it and I just don't think I can ever really set that many goals again. Let it go. You can't change it. Get a new goal. Oh, on this one, regrets. Regrets. Anybody deal with regrets? Don't raise your hand. Regrets. Every honest person has those. Every honest person has regrets. And we need to learn from them. We need to, if we can make corrections, apologies, wonderful. But you can't change them. You know, I regret that when our family was young, and I had this amazing goal that someday the four of us would make a trip to Washington, D.C. and see all the stuff that's back there to see. And we never had any money. I would have gotten a third job and found some money. If I could live my life over, we would do that. If somebody offered me that trip today, I'd have to turn you down. I'm not physically able to make that trip anymore, are we? So So is that a regret to me? Yes. If I could live my life over again, we would do that. I think it would be wholesome. Let it go. Not going to happen. And I'm okay with that. I don't want to make a trip like that now. I don't want to stand in line. But it's a regret. I honestly admit that. Poor decisions and bad choices. Yeah, I made some of those. Oh, and then those if-only feelings. If only I had said this, or didn't say that. If only I had... Charlie Shedd wrote a book years ago, and it was to grandparents. And he said grandparents should teach these things to their grandkids. And in that book, he said there's four words. Four words. I'm getting my fingers all mixed up here. I'm older today, you know. So there's four words you need to eliminate from your vocabulary as you teach your grandkids. Two of them, if only. Just get over that. If only. And the other two are what if. The if onlys are in the past and regrets. The what ifs are afraid to pass into the future and take some risks. Need to let go of those if only feelings. And then wounds, hurts that we caused others. I've done those. I think I've gone back to anybody that I'm aware of and made apologies. But I'm sure there's some that I had no idea I was even doing. Young, ambitious, harsh, legalistic, arrogant wounds. And you can't change those. You can try to make amends. You can quit wounding people. I work hard at that. But you can't let them hold you back. Just a couple more. Missed opportunities. It's kind of in the goal thing. Oh, look at that opportunity I was offered and I missed it, and look what would have happened. My father-in-law used to tell me there's not a man alive who couldn't retire if he could sell his regrets for what they cost, his experience for what it cost him. We look back and I should have invested in that. I shouldn't have sold that. I should have been more patient on that. So, doesn't change anything today. And those should have, could have memories. I should have, I could have, I didn't. They can hold you back. Paul says, let them go. Don't forget them, because you don't want to make the same mistakes again. But neglect them. Neglect them in such a way that they're not holding you back. And what are some things to look forward to? The possibility of another day. Isn't that great? It's fun to go to sleep at night and say, dear God, thanks for getting me through this day. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I hope I wake up here, but if not, I'll be with you. That possibility is amazing, to have another day. And with that, a fresh start. Dear God, I didn't do too well in this, and I'm struggling with this, but it's over. I can't change it. But if I wake up tomorrow, I get a fresh start. How exciting is that? You remember in school or in a job where you really messed up and your boss or your teacher gave you an opportunity for a fresh start over? So amazing. Looking forward to the opportunity for gratefulness. Always looking forward for another opportunity to be grateful. I think that's the way really godly people live. They're always anticipating the next opportunity to be grateful. Not to grumble, not to complain, not to regret, but to be grateful. And there is always something for which to be grateful. I think that was Paul. I think that was part of his reaching forward. He looked forward to opportunity to be grateful. And certainly the hope of seeing Jesus. Luette Maynard, you know, she was struggling. She was in that wheelchair. She was doing therapy. She didn't know where she was going to be able to live. She stayed as active as she could. She was here within the last couple of weeks. I just want to go to be with Jesus. She was tired. She was worn out. She had that confidence. But she had this sweet demeanor. Remember when I walked out of the care center that last time, I thought, that lady didn't complain. She's hurting. She has a dozen questions about her future. She was grateful. And she wanted to see Jesus. I think one of Paul's also would be knowing Jesus better than I know him today. Isn't that fun to think about that? So I got my act together pretty good. I read my Bible this morning. I went to church. I was kind to people. I prayed. I put some money in the offering. I'm feeling pretty good about that. I think I know Jesus pretty well today. Oh, but I think I'll know him better tomorrow. That's what's been so fun, of many things, fun about our marriage journey. I thought when I married Carol, I knew her really well. If she'd have known me well, she'd have never married me. But that relationship grows, and you know each other better, and it's much more meaningful. And then I like this one. Looking forward to being more useful tomorrow than I was today. More useful. I think the key word that Jesus leaves us on the planet is to be useful in the now, in the day, today. I look forward to being more useful tomorrow than I was yesterday. Or that I'll be today. Reaching for that. I think this is a real struggle for people that are in care centers and they feel like they have no usefulness anymore. Everybody takes care of me. Oh no, not as a follower of Jesus. You have tremendous usefulness. You pray and you have a sweet attitude and you're grateful. And you model hardship and difficulty and you're gracious to be around when you'd rather be with Jesus. That's useful. Tomorrow maybe I'll understand better why I'm on planet Earth than I do today. Why am I still around? Looking forward to knowing that better. Maybe even the possibility of having some answers to today's questions. Maybe tomorrow I'll get some of those answers to the questions that I have today. Just don't seem to have any sense of why this is, but maybe tomorrow, maybe it'll fall into place. Something to reach for. Well, and I like this because once in a while I get to do this. Sharing wisdom gained from life today. It is so much fun. One of the things I'm enjoying about getting older is that once in a while somebody will talk to me and I can say, you know what? I know what you're talking about. And I went through that. And I don't know whether this will work for you or not. And I'm not going to ask you to do this, but you might try this because I tried it and it worked. Isn't that fun? You weren't able to do that when you were 13. I didn't know anything about it when I was 18. Sharing wisdom gained from today. Don't you look forward tomorrow, this next week, that you might be able to share some wisdom with somebody that they'll say, wow, that makes sense. Thank you. I think it's fun. And with Paul, know that I'm one day closer to the finish. See, I think a lot of people are afraid in life for the finish. Ooh, I've used up another day. I'm getting closer to the finish. John Wayne used to say, burning daylight. Is it okay if I can say that in church? And my mind, as I'm getting older, is becoming more and more good. One more day chalked off. I made it. I'm a day closer. And one of these days, it'll be the final day. I think that was Paul. He wasn't trying to hang on to how many days he had left. He was enjoying the fact that he was moving towards the finish. Get the prize. So what's the priorities for today? Well, one of them is gratefulness. The present. If we don't accomplish anything else today, let's be grateful. Let go of the past. Don't worry about the future. Be grateful for today. And worship. Mary had that one down. Martha was a little ways behind. Worship. Listening, thinking, enjoying the benefit of being in the presence of God through the Holy Spirit in our life, His Word, the relationship. Worship. When you're cleaning the toilet, if our attitude is right with God, it will be an act of worship. To me, that's a stretch. Thanks for doing it. Gratefulness, worship, and you know what I'll say for the last one. Be useful. Useful. If we can come to the end of this day, July 28th, 2019, and have some sense that we might have been useful to one other person and that God would consider us a useful person in His family, then go to sleep with a grateful heart and look forward to tomorrow. My prayer is to be useful. Gratefulness, worship, and useful. Forgetting the past does not suggest memory lapse, but rather a determined neglect of its ongoing influence over us. Success or failure of our past need not keep us from being useful in the present. Too much focus on the future can keep us from being useful today. It can interrupt our gratefulness for the present. At the end of each day, we want to be able to feel that we fulfilled at least a part of what God left us here to do. Now, if you know Jesus is your Savior, this is all good stuff today. If you don't, you might get some help, ideas, what to let go of and what to anticipate. But for you today, the issue is, do you know Jesus? Have you believed in your heart, said with your mouth, Jesus is my Savior, my God. I'm a sinner in need of God's grace and His forgiveness, and I accept Jesus as the one who connects me back to God. It's the most important decision that we ever make. It begins the journey that Paul talks about, that he's on, with a secure hope of the resurrection, of being with Him forever. Father, I thank You that I have a little bit more understanding today about this passage than I had 59 years ago. And I also thank You for Your patience, because I have so much still to learn. Thanks for the example of the Apostle Paul. Thanks for family and friends who encourage us, confront us, pray for us, nurture us, do the journey with us. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the hope of being in Your presence completely one day. Thanks for giving us another day to walk with You and hopefully to be useful, because today the way You're getting Your story told is through Your children. That's why You leave us around for a while. Help us to say it and live it well. Thank You for being our Savior and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening.